What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim's way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. I am leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. I am leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I am leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I am leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Well, here we are. This is my sister for sin is here with me. This is Pierre Chesson speaking. We were going to be at church, having a church service in Shetty Camp this morning, but we stormed out on March the 15th, 2015. So my sister was going to share about her impending trip to Haiti. And so I'm going to ask her a few questions and we'll share it here. And you'll be able to listen to it snug in, as a bug in a rug in your home. So for Sin, maybe you could give us a little bit of idea what's happening here. You're off to Haiti for...
I'll be there for a week. I'm leaving on March 17th, traveling back on the 24th, but Canada on the 25th. And I'll be working with an organization called HATS, which stands for Hands Across the Sea. It's a Christian organization that runs an orphanage. There are 19 children there. And they also have a Christian school where 400 students come in from the community. And the students and the orphans as well are taken care of through a sponsorship program. And the organization also has a community outreach where they give food and clothing to needy families that are identified through their contacts. And they also connect up with a Christian radio station called Radio Creole, where they reach about 100,000 Haitians with Christian music and communication.
Okay, so you're going there for a week, and I understand there's a mission team that is going there at the same time, but you're looking at a possible long-term commitment at some point, and that is to be an assistant director at this orphanage?
Right. The orphanage has been supported by Emmanuel Baptist Church of Clare for a number of years now, and the head of the board and the pastor from Emmanuel sat down with me to see if I might be interested in exploring the idea of being the assistant to the director. Karen Huckster is her name, originally from Springdale, Newfoundland. And as the work expands and as Karen no doubt gets a bit older, that they're considering the need for an assistant. And the idea is for me to go and explore whether I would be a fit for them and find out what would work.
Okay. Now, this is not necessarily right away. This is a possible future
right.
Endeavor.
That's right.
You've had some experience with being overseas, have you not?
Yes, I have, actually. The other side of the island from Haiti is the Dominican Republic. And I've been there on 7 different mission trips through West Toronto Baptist Church in Toronto, traveled with a number of teams from the church over those years. And we worked principally with Youth for Christ at a Christian school called Lighthouse Christian School. And we stayed at a Bible camp right next door to the school, Campamento Buenas Nuevas. So I've learned some Spanish, and looking forward to using my French in Haiti, although Creole is really their national language. And the missions trips to the Dominican were principally to work on the school itself, and we also built houses for people, and we built a playground, and we put in sidewalks in the community outside of Santo Domingo called Los Alcarizos.
Okay. And you actually were overseas much earlier in your experience down in South America for a period of time.
Yes, I was. I was in Guyana. I wasn't a Christian at the time.
Yeah.
It was with a cultural organization, but I did meet Christians there who housed me for the last 6 weeks while I was in Guyana. And we wrote back and forth, and when I became a Christian, I sent them a letter and told them, I'm sorry I lied. I told you I was a Christian back then, and I wasn't.
Mm.
And they rejoiced when they wrote back and said, we weren't sure, so we just kept praying for you.
Right. So you've actually had a lot of experience in leadership with teams and groups, even previous to being a Christian. But then what year was it that you became a believer?
1986, March 9th.
Wow. And this may be a new step in your journey. I know right now you're a principal caregiver for our mother.
That's right.
And you've committed yourself to doing that. So it's something that we can certainly be praying for you on. And as God directs what the next step in your life will be in your ministry. You were ministering in a church in Toronto for how many
20 years?
20 years.
20 years, yeah.
And that was West Toronto Baptist, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And what were you doing when you were there?
Well, my my principal work when I started was children and youth outreach on some evening opportunities where I was part-time. And then it branched into many, many daily opportunities, whether it was visiting people in prison or hospital visitation, running vacation Bible camps at the church on a yearly basis, continuing with our children's club and our Monday night youth group called Teen Wrap, and also branched into English second language lessons for new Canadians and basic English courses, and working with our seniors. It every day was different, and it was a great place to work.
Okay. And now you're living in the District of Clare, near Church Point,
mm-hmm.
Nova Scotia. And you attend a church you mentioned already, Emmanuel Baptist Church. And you said they support the hands or hats ministry
mm-hmm.
in Haiti. They're not just the only supporters. They're
no.
one of the churches that are behind that ministry.
Yeah.
So that's become sort of your home church right now while you're there?
That's right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a member of the church there now, and the church itself has supported HATS Haiti for a few years, and they've sent 3 different mission teams from the church to go down to the orphanage and work there.
Okay, so that'll be great. Maybe I'll post up on the website the address for HATS.
Sure.
Because the children you mentioned at the orphanage, they're being sponsored by
yes.
individuals or whatever through
mm-hmm.
that organization.
That's
so
right.
that they can be at that orphanage.
Yes. Just as a quick example, at Emmanuel, the church supports Karen's ministry as the director, but they also sponsor 5 children
wow.
through the church. Yeah.
That's 5 children in the orphanage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And there's just 19 in the orphanage at the
yes,
present.
Yes, that's right.
And the school, is that something that they are running themselves?
It's run by the HATS Haiti,
okay.
and there are 400 students presently from preschool to grade 10.
Wow. Anyway, that's been really good to have you come and do this little interview, and we're sorry you didn't get to do it in our church service, but our folks will still be able to hear what's going on. And maybe you're going to sing a song for us now, and it's called Glorify Your Name.
Sure.
And you'll do it in English and in French.
Sounds good.
You can't do it in Creole, can you?
Not yet.
Okay. Maybe when you get back from Haiti, we'll get you to do it in Creole.
I'll work on it.
Okay, then. Thank you so much, and we'll certainly be praying for you in this trip and also in the days to come that God's will be done.
Wonderful.
In your life.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Sounds good. This is Sunday, March 15, 2015, and we've had a blizzard. It's whiteouts and snowstorm outside, and we were supposed to have our church service in Shetty Camp, but instead I'm seated here in my kitchen. We did some music together, my sister, Francine, and then we had an interview, and now I'm going to share with you from the Word of God. We have been working our way through the Gospel of Luke. Last time we were together in Luke chapter 4, we saw the story of Jesus going into his hometown and standing up in the synagogue and reading the Word of God, declaring that he was the Messiah, the Deliverer, declaring the good news of what he had come to do.
And of course, we know what happened there. They sought to throw him over a cliff, and he departed in the midst of them. He passed right through them. We see the miracle working God, working in that situation, that it wasn't the time for Jesus to be put to death. Therefore, even though they tried to throw him over a cliff because of his declaration that he was the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior, he was able to pass right through them. So then the next passage of Scripture is in Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. And when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. This passage of Scripture, if there was a word that I would use to describe it, to frame the passage that we are looking at today in the Bible, it's the word authority. This Jesus who left Nazareth in hard circumstances, didn't run away from Nazareth, wasn't afraid. He was one who had authority. And that authority enabled him to walk through the middle of the crowd and not be thrown over a cliff, not out of fear of dying, but out of clear direction as to when the time would come when he would die. Jesus had authority over his own life and over his own death. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I have the power to lay it down," that is his life, "and I have the power to take it up again." This is the kind of authority that Jesus had, and you see it exercised here as he passed through the midst of that crowd who wanted to throw him over that cliff. The time would come when he would relinquish and allow them to take him and crucify him on that cross. But that time had not yet come. And so after following that incident, he goes down to Capernaum. Capernaum really became the city of the central working point for Jesus' ministry in Galilee. And as he went to the city of Galilee, he was teaching them on the Sabbaths. We discover that the Lord Jesus was teaching. And this is one of the principal things that we'll see as we go down through this passage. It was very much part and central to what the ministry that Jesus was doing. And so it tells us what the reaction of the people were to the teachings of Jesus in Luke 4:32, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority." And so we see that when Jesus was teaching, something happened. It was different than the kinds of teachings they had heard before. There was something much more powerful to the words of Jesus Christ. Indeed, we find in other passages of Scripture, it tells us when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, they had been sent by the Pharisees to arrest the Lord Jesus, the temple soldiers, but they came back empty-handed, and they said, "Why have you not arrested him?" And the answer that was given is, "Never did a man speak like this man." In another passage of Scripture, it says he spoke as one who had authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. So when we look at the authority of Jesus, we already saw that he had authority over his life and authority over his death. Now we see that he also has authority in his speech. When the Lord Jesus speaks, he speaks with authority. It wasn't like the scribes and the Pharisees. There's some good reasons for this. First of all, because he was the Son of God. Secondly, because he always spoke the truth. And the truth has a ring of authority that a lie can never find. And when we look in the all the things that the Pharisees had come to believe and were propagating at that time, most of it was foolishness and much of it was lies. And so they had no authority with which to speak with. They had nothing with which to present that could carry that kind of weight. But every word that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ was truth. Indeed, he identified himself as truth. And he was actually, one of his titles is that he is called the Word of God. He is the Word. That is, whatever the Lord Jesus says is full and powerful and truthful in every way. So when we have this statements that are made here concerning the teachings of Jesus, then we can say this: Jesus has authority in his teachings. And there is great authority there. You know, there's a vast difference between just going to hear somebody talk about the Bible and someone who is teaching the words of Jesus Christ for what they are. There's a vast difference between the authority of Jesus Christ and the authority of men. And I want to encourage you that you can still hear the authority of the Lord Jesus, because the Word of God is present. It is here, and we can hear the teachings of Jesus, and we can see one who has this kind of authority. That tells us that we have a rock, we have a foundation, we have a sure place to come to. There is not much authority left in our world even today. There are even government officials and all the authorities that are there, there's really very little respect for them. And part of the reason for that is because they do not speak with authority. But when the Lord Jesus speaks, there is authority. And friends, when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit and they are preaching and teaching the Word of God, there is authority there. It's an authority that comes from God. And when you know that, it speaks into your soul. You know that God is speaking because there is real authority that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord, we have someone who speaks with authority, someone who can take command of situations. There is a myriad of situations that you will face in your life, circumstances where you want direction, you want clarity, you want to know the way, you want to know what to do. We live in such a vacillating society that says, well, there really is no authority. You just do whatever feels good or whatever might feel right in the moment. But all the while, there is an authority given to us from the very Word of God to give us clear direction, to give us words of life so that we can have a secure authority that comes from God himself, so that we know what God says is true. Now that's a wonderful thing to be able to claim and to live in and to rest on the promises of God that are in the Bible. Every one of them carry that kind of authority. That authority amazed these folks at that time. They were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. And I can tell you this, I am still amazed when I open the Word of God, when I see that God gives plain, clear direction for life and for godliness.
gives plain, clear direction for what sin is and what sin isn't, and plain, clear direction about what to do about it all. So let me encourage you, listen to Jesus Christ. Discover his authority in your life. And then we see in Luke 4:33, in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And so now we find out here's someone who is possessed of a demon. Now you might say, "Oh, that's old-fashioned. That's not doesn't happen anymore." Well, I believe it does. I believe that demons can possess and oppress people. And I believe that sometimes, especially in our culture today, as people fiddle around with things they shouldn't, thinking they can talk to the dead and get involved in Ouija boards and in tarot cards and all these different things instead of the true authority of the Word of God, you can end up getting deceived by the devil and even possibly possessed. But the marks of those who were possessed in the Bible was that they were completely out of control, and that they also had a spiritual aspect to them, even in here, as he cried out against Jesus because he knew who he was. Now, some people have tried to say, well, that mental illness is demon possession. I don't believe that. Many people can have mental illness, and that's not demon possession. Demon possession has its marks, and I'm not going to go through all of them today, but if you wanted to take the time to look in Mark chapter 5 for yourself, you'll see some of the marks of what demon possession can do. But here, this one who was possessed, and interesting to note, he was possessed, and where was he? He was in the church of the day, the gathering of the day. He was in the synagogue. So it's possible to have demon possession right even there amongst people who profess to follow God. But when he was there in that synagogue, he cries out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Well, this demon knew who he was. Even if the people of Nazareth didn't know who he was, the demons knew. The devil knew who he was. The devil had already tried to derail him as he tempted him in the wilderness. But the answer that Jesus gave is, it says he rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. And so we see the results of the crowd's reaction was they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." So now we see not only does Jesus have authority over his life, authority over his death, and he still has the authority over life and death, friends. Not only do we see that his teaching carried with it great authority, we see that he has authority over demons as well. He has authority over wicked forces. And praise God that we have someone. And if you have Christ, you're leaning on someone who has this kind of authority. You're leaning on someone who's big enough to face every situation, whether it's life or death, whether it's truth or whether it's lies, to be able to discern and to know it. And whether it's even all the powers of hell itself coming against you, there's someone who has greater authority, and his name is Jesus Christ. So praise God. He delivered this man from this demon that had possessed him. A little side note about that, as this demon began to declare who Jesus was, Jesus told him to be quiet. Jesus didn't need the devil's help in proclaiming whom he was. There was a time and a place for everything, and the Lord Jesus had authority over that too. And so he instructed these very demons to be quiet as they began to declare who Jesus was. We know that the Lord Jesus has every timetable in his own hands, and we will talk about that a little bit later in this message as well. And so they were all amazed again. They were amazed at his teaching, and they were amazed at his power being revealed. With authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits to come out of him. And so the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region, Luke 4:37. So after he left the synagogue in Luke 4:38, it says he went from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now this would be Peter. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. That's just a little tidbit to let you know that Simon was a married man. Peter was a married man. He wasn't a celibate person. He was married. And his wife's mother was sick with a high fever. The other gospels say he had a fever, but in Luke's gospel it tells us it was a high fever. And that means that she was very sick, and she would have been down with it. And they made request of him concerning her. They said, can you do something, obviously, to help her? So it says in Luke 4:39, he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and served them. Now, if you have a very high fever, the fever might leave, but I'll tell you what you're left with. That is extreme weakness, because fever knocks the stuffing out of you. And so in this case, we see the miraculous power of God at work. Not only did the fever disappear, but so did the results of the fever. And we see here again the mighty power of God. We see as well his concern for an individual. And what happens then in Luke 4:40 when the sun was setting? This would have been after the end of the Sabbath. That's why it says when the sun was setting, because they wouldn't have been allowed to make journey during the Sabbath time. But once that was over, the crowds came. All those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And so we also begin to see here that Jesus Christ has authority over sickness. He is all-powerful. Doctors are wonderful. Luke himself, the author of this gospel, was a doctor. And we even see Paul instructing there to be plasters or boils put on, plaster put on a boil of some sort later on in the New Testament. So doctoring was not something that was forbidden at all, and we should never even think such a thing. But we can say this. We can say with absolute assurance that we are discovering that Jesus has the final authority over sickness. He can and does heal. He can still do that today, friends. He's a God who hears and a God who answers prayer. And again, we see the great and wonderful authority of Jesus Christ. We saw he had authority over his own death and life. We saw that he had authority in his preaching and his teaching. We saw that he had authority over demons, over Satan. And we see he has authority over sicknesses and illnesses. This is one who has all authority. And again, in Luke 4:41, it says, demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. It is rather a shame when you stop and think about the fact that men would not recognize that Jesus was the Christ, but demons knew. Oh, the darkness that's in the heart of men, the blindness that has happened. We know the Bible tells us that Satan blinds the minds of those that believe not, lest they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, see the glorious light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. The demons were acknowledging that he was the Christ, but people did not see that. But the Lord Jesus did not need the help of demons and would not accept the help of demons in proclaiming who he was. We're going to proclaim the gospel. We're not going to do it by devious or demonic means. We are going to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ by spiritual means, not by any other. There may be methods that look good or seem good to the world, but are not good to the people of God. And we need to use some wisdom and discernment so that we will be faithful in proclaiming the truth in a righteous way and not mixing wickedness with righteousness, even that would have happened had the Lord Jesus encouraged the testimony of demons. In Luke 4:42, now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. Now I wonder what he went for. This was through the night we see the Lord Jesus exercising his authority over sickness and over demons. But finally, it says he went into a solitary place. Mark 1:35 sheds some light on this so we might understand where it is that he went. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Ah, the Lord Jesus knew what he needed. And while he was here on earth, the Lord Jesus was a dependent person. He was not an independent person. And I want to encourage you, if the Lord Jesus was dependent, you need to be dependent. And now we see that the Lord Jesus here, after doing all of these miracles, after pouring out such energy, he went to the Father. And he went and departed into a solitary place to pray. He was there for a long time. He had risen a long time before daylight to meet with the Father. And we can say here that Jesus had authority in prayer. He knew what it was to come to the Father, and he knew what it was to be strengthened by the Father. He knew what it was to speak to the Father and get his energy and life and strength from the Father's hand for the tasks that were before him. So we praise God. I praise the Lord that the Lord Jesus knew what it was to be a man of prayer. And I want to encourage you, if Jesus was a man of prayer, what do you need to be? Man or woman, you need prayer. You need this communion, this relationship with Jesus Christ, alive and active. It says there, he prayed. But he wasn't there for long. Once daylight came, we find that they came looking for him. And it says in Luke 4:42, the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Now, when you look at the passage in Mark 1:36, it says, Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. The crowd had a mandate. They had a plan. Jesus had healed many of them. And now, do you think there was another big crowd waiting? You may be sure there was. Now, he had healed everyone that had come to him the day before. But now a new day had begun, and the whole crowd came looking for him again, and they tried to keep him from leaving them, it says to us in Luke 4:42. Wow. You would think he would have said, well, if you want me to stay, I'll stay as long as you want. But that's not what he said. Because now we discover not only did Jesus have authority over the things we've already said, he also had authority over his timetable. That he had authority, not the crowds, not the people. And I think that is important for us to stop and think about. Because here's what Jesus' answer was in Luke 4:43. He said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. What does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus had a mandate. And the first mandate was to preach the gospel. It was the good news that he was declaring. This was more important than the healing. If it wasn't, then he would have stayed and kept on healing and kept on healing in Capernaum. But he didn't. He had to leave behind those looking for healing and move on, because there was something more important than this. And that was the message that he was bringing, that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. It was the good news that he was declaring, and that good news culminated itself in the Lord Jesus going to the cross to die for our sins. Friends, God does miraculous things. He is a great healer. He is a great deliverer. He is a great preacher. He is a great person. And yet, I want to tell you that in all of this, we need to know the truth, because Jesus said it was the truth that would set us free. I can tell you that healing is a wonderful thing, and I thank God that He does. And I praise the Lord for answered prayer, even in our own family, through the trial that we have gone through. We have seen the hand of God working. But something higher than this is at work, something greater than this, and that is the truth setting people free. You could be healed from a disease. You could live till you're 110. But if you die and go to hell at the end of all of that, what good would it have done you? Really, in the end, no good at all. So thank God for all the healing, and we ought to be praying for it and proclaiming the mercy of God. But what is most important is that the truth is preached, and that the truth is received, and that people enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That glorious truth that Christ died for our sins, that wonderful truth that He is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Deliverer, that all our sins can be forgiven in a home in heaven because of what He has done there, that's real healing, that's full deliverance, that takes you all the way to heaven no matter whatever else happens in this world. Jesus has authority to establish the mandate of what's most important, and we ought to bow to His authority on that. And we see it clearly expressed here in this passage, as the crowd had their own mandate, and it says they tried to keep Him from leaving them. They had their own mandate. But He said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. I have to carry this message, because that's the purpose that I have been sent. Let's not miss the real picture. Let's not miss the real message. Let's not miss the real message that Jesus had to bring. And I tell you today, friends, that same glorious gospel needs to be proclaimed above everything else. It's the only thing that changes people. It's the only thing that gives them new life. It's the only thing that will save them forever. And I thank God for it. Oh, this Jesus, all authority, He said in Matthew 28, at the end of His earthly ministry, after His resurrection from the dead, as He was departing from His disciples, He said, all authority is given to Me in heaven and in earth. Praise the Lord. Jesus is high and lifted up. I thank God for Him. I thank God for His authority. I thank God His authority is here today. So I want to encourage you. In this last point that I said, that Jesus sets the mandate, that He has the authority as to what is supposed to happen, He has authority that His will is paramount, not yours. Bend and bow to the will of God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Put Jesus first. You know, in John chapter 6, when the great crowd of people had been fed, the multitude were fed with a few loaves and fish, they came looking for Jesus, and they wanted to find Him. They were desperate to find Him. But sadly, they were desperate to find Him because they just wanted free bread. They wanted to use Jesus for their own benefit. And He turns around and He says, I am the bread of life. You need Me. You don't need that bread. You need Me. You need to have Me on the inside. They were greatly offended. They wanted nothing more to do with Him because He wasn't giving them free bread. He wasn't following their mandate. Can I encourage you to humble yourself in the sight of God and not create your own mandate and expect Jesus to follow it, but be willing to bow to Him and His mandate, because He definitely has all the authority. He has that kind of authority and many much more. When we look in the rest of Scripture, we discover that He has the authority to judge the world, and He will do just that in the last day. Come to Jesus. fall before him. This one who preached such a wonderful message that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, anointing him to preach the gospel to the poor. This wonderful Savior who did all these beautiful things for people, who was filled with love and with compassion and everything else, also has all the authority in heaven and in earth. May God bless you. May he bless us all to see and to understand who Jesus Christ is and to bow down completely to his authority in our lives. God bless you. We'll close with a song. I think it's one that I had recorded before, and I'll put it on the end of this message for you, and it's called High and Lifted Up. He's far above all principalities and all powers. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this snowy day, we give you thanks that you still have authority. You have authority, as we see in other passages of Scripture, over the wind and the waves. You have authority over all things, O God. We are thankful, Lord, because we can bow to that authority today and not necessarily be complaining about how long the winter is, but realizing that you give what you give in the midst of this, and that we can find the spiritual joys and the spiritual realities and the spiritual life by coming to you. In the midst of whatever storms happen, we can find a great place to be in awe and in wonder and in worship of Jesus Christ. So we worship you today. We thank you that all authority is given to you, and we want to gladly bow to you, hear your voice, trust in your power, live in your strength, watch you work your authorities, Lord, in this world, over death and life, over sickness, over demons, over all things, by the word of your power. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're the rock on which I stand. Lord, you lift me up, and I am kept in your mighty hands. Oh, you are Lord, and I praise you for your high and lifted up. Far above all principalities and all the powers that be, holy, holy is he. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. 'Cause you're high and lifted up is Jesus, you're the rock on which I stand. Lord, you lift me up, and I am kept in your mighty hands. Oh, you are Lord, and I praise you for you're high and lifted up.
Praise Jesus.
I am lifted up.
Hallelujah.
I am lifted up.